1, 2, 3, 4. Some might be offended that I'm sharing the secret. I'll make an exception because I think you'll keep it. What I'm telling you's true. Cross my heart, hope to die. What have you got to lose? Why would I lie?
Hello and welcome to We Always Lie to Strangers, a podcast about Ozark's history, folklore, and beyond. My name is Sharp Woolston.
I'm Daniel Smiley.
I'm Gus Carlson.
And Raymond Mathis.
And we might always lie to strangers, but not on this show because we are all friends here. Thank you joining us. This is our first Missouri-centric story on We Always Lie to Strangers.
Heading to that Springfield Plateau, boys.
Yeah.
As my father lovingly calls misery.
Yeah, are you gonna listen? You need to appeal to your folksy charm, like all the politicians. You're gonna say Missouri the whole time, right?
Talking to me?
Yeah, host.
I told you about how my dad has recently started saying Missouri, like within the last 5 years. And I asked when he started doing that, and he said, "I've always said Missouri," but he hasn't always said Missouri. Because he's from Kansas City, which some would argue is a Midwestern city.
It absolutely is.
Everyone would argue.
It's more of a plains community.
Okay.
I think that's a subgenre of the Middle West, personally. Has anyone ever known a bona fide Missourian to say Missouri?
No, not that I can think of.
I just wonder, is this their version, right? Is this the We Always Lie to Strangers, is convincing politicians that are pandering to rural voters that they say Missouri?
I just don't know why you'd want to sound like that.
I think it's just kind of a thing where...
We call it misery.
Yes?
Well, I already made that one.
Yeah, but I made it with a more folksy... Listen, Gus...
You made it with a Count Chocula voice.
Well, there you go.
What are you looking at? Look how...
Sharp's checking his voicemail.
I just wanted to make sure I pronounced something correctly.
Will you hold up? Were you good?
Y'all are talking. I can check how to pronounce this word really quick.
No one's going to know.
Well, there was an episode... I edited it flawlessly to the average listener, well, to the non-host, when Gus's headphones broke. So if you're just listening, you're like, Gus seemed awfully quiet that episode, when in reality, Gus was kind of not there for part of it.
Oh, he had Havana syndrome.
It happens, you know. I wanted government funding, you know, I got Havana syndrome for the podcast. It was my sacrifice.
So they destroyed your well-being instead.
Yeah.
Well, today's yarn begins on March 23rd, 1844, in Brugge, Switzerland. B-R-U-G-G.
Brugge?
Is it? One of the things I looked up said Brugge, but it wasn't spelled the same. But it might be Brugge.
I'm going on maybe hearing it in a soccer podcast at some point. I think it's somewhere around. It just mumble it enough.
It's not really gonna come up again. In Switzerland, which is where Hermann Jaeger was born,
with Peter Mankins, maybe.
That's right. That was Switzerland, but it wasn't. I couldn't find much more out about the childhood of Hermann Jaeger. Though his great-grandfather on his mother's side was Johann Pestalozzi, who was an education reformer whose methods and principles became widely accepted and are now used in most modern elementary education. Whoa. So that really doesn't have anything to do with the story, but it's just kind of a... You got to mention it if you see it.
Okay. Was a Montessori person, got it. Or was it a Waldorf?
I mean, I think this is like... standard public school practices. I mean, I think I can't remember. It's been long enough ago since we've shuffled around kind of like the recording schedule and like when I wrote the scripts. He was one of the first people that was like, maybe with kids it should be fun. I don't know, whatever. I'm talking so far out of my ass, but
this was before the voucher program.
Yeah.
Barely. Yeah, I was going to try and make a Missouri governor joke, cuz I just assume he's also a ghoul, but I could not remember who the governor is.
That was back when they called it Southwest Missouri State.
Ah, SMSU.
SMSU. Jackie Stiles, always remember, never forget.
First time I ever had Red Bull was when I was on that campus, and there was like a Red Bull like hype team giving free energy drinks to people who were walking by.
Do you know what year this was?
2006 or 7.
This may have been when Sebastian Vettel was winning world championships for the Red Bull F1 team.
I've got an insane first Red Bull experience for me, but I'm absolutely not saying it on the podcast. But if you, but if you remind me after, I'll tell all of you.
My dick quit working.
Grew horns.
Nothing. Just remind me afterwards.
Yep. I remember being scandalized by the Red Bull commercial having like animated nudity at like normal hours. That was pretty wild.
Yeah.
That's about all I recalled like of Red Bull at the beginning.
Not good.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking up the governor of Missouri because this is going to piss me off. Continue.
Speaking of, I know he's not a governor of Missouri, but Josh Hawley's ghoul, Tom Cotton, did you see his Singaporean, the TikTok CEO thing?
Yes.
God, my God, what an idiot. What an awful representation for Arkansas.
Dardanelle's finest.
Oh, God. You know, Josh Hawley, speaking of the Missouri senator that looks like Tom Cotton and, you know, he was born in Springdale. Now, and for Hermann Jaeger's early life, we do know that he had an apprenticeship at a dry goods store before working in a wine house near the lake. What's this word? Geneva? I'm just kidding.
You got me. You got me.
Before working in a wine house near Lake Geneva from 1863 to 1864.
So he went from dry goods to wet goods.
Yeah. Wink. It's not known for sure, but the assumption is that while he was working at the wine house, he had some training in viticulture.
Real quick, while Sharp's drinking water, Lake Geneva's beautiful if you ever get the chance to see it.
No, must be nice. Yeah, Sharp had to have to get on an airplane.
In 1864, Hermann immigrated to the United States with his brother John. Arriving in Norfolk, Virginia, they traveled west, first stopping in St. Louis, before finally buying 40 acres and settling just east of Neosho, Missouri.
Promised land.
Coming from Lake Geneva to Neosho.
Northwest Arkansas residents might know Neosho as where the closest weed store is in Missouri.
I saw that they're about to open one up in that little place when you hit like Bella Vista. And
there's one in Jane.
Oh, there, yeah. There is one in Jane?
Yeah, apparently there's also a strip club that serves hot dogs there. So I mean, everything you need.
I think most of them service hot dogs. And show myself out.
Hermann's brother John bought the adjacent 40 acres, and they combined the land, which was 80 acres, into one shared property. In 1866, Hermann planted his first vineyard. He had brought cuttings from a variety of grapes from the East Coast, including Concord and Virginia, that he had grafted onto the roots of various local Ozarks possum grapes.
What? This worked?
Yeah. But
yeah, you guys remember like where the house that I grew up at was like covered in possum grape. And, like, there's, like, nothing. I mean, like, I know you can kind of do stuff with it, but most people don't do anything because they're so tiny. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't think they were actual wine. Actual grape. Like, I thought it was, you know, here's something that kind of, like, a wild strawberry, right? Which is not a strawberry.
Right.
Y'all know what I'm talking about. The ones that we used to eat, or I used to eat.
Guys, nobody say anything.
Trying to use their less racist name, because I definitely grew up hearing them called Indian strawberries.
I actually never heard that.
No, I don't either. But you, must be a River Valley thing.
We ate them out of my yard. Fuck you all.
Did you water them with your indoor pool water?
No, because I would have been chlorinated, Daniel.
Mm. Oh, good.
That's fair. Yeah, weren't there possum grapes on the pool house?
No, and it wasn't a pool house.
It did house a pool, though.
It was a house pool.
So his experiments with of the cuttings and the possum grapes almost never worked because he accidentally introduced a blight that was unknown in the Ozarks called downy mildew, which was on the verge of destroying his entire initial crop. He developed a blend of sulfur, iron sulfate, and copper sulfate, which not only was successful against the blight, but was also a pioneering moment in the in spraying to control crop disease.
Yeah, that's...
Did he later found Monsanto? Also a Missouri-based company.
I did not know that.
St. Louis.
Oh. So, like, they still do that, though. Like, downy mildew is still things that get on, like, if you're a home gardener, it gets on, like, squash plants a lot once it starts getting, like, kind of cool and humid as fuck. Mm-hmm. And they still use the coppery stuff on it, so that's neat that he knew that.
Yeah, he made that.
Cool
he
stuff.
He made the coppery stuff.
He made that. Shit.
He made it.
Was this actually the guy that founds Weedeker's? Going for, well, it's a Swiss guy who started a vineyard.
It was Post.
Do you remember that little business outside of Jasper, right before like Dogpatch?
Little Switzerland.
Cliff
House
Inn.
Yeah, I want to stay at Little Switzerland sometime. The rates are like cheap.
Yeah, it's because it's on a turn of a fucking highway,
and it's real shitty. Yeah, it's I'm sure.
I've seen cars peel out there a lot, but
oh fuck.
Nice.
Time.
Oh, you get rooms hourly.
Hang on, time out.
Hell yeah.
time out. T.O.
I had a soda that I just knocked off.
Oh, I thought you were going to say from yesterday.
It's from tonight, but...
what kind of soda? Floor.
Just a Coke. So, I won't clean this up. I'll tell the story so I don't have to cut so much out when I edit the podcast. But I went to the mail, and I got stuff out of the mail, and I gave it to my daughter... And she was like, hey, Dairy Queen coupons. That means we get to go to Dairy Queen, right? And I was like, I guess so. And then I was like, well, yeah, no, I'm recording the podcast tonight. So I've kind of crunched for time. So sure, we can go to Dairy Queen. And I had a Coke that was sitting next to me. And I exaggeratedly put my arm out, even though no one's watching any of this, and knocked a full Coke all over the floor of my bedroom. And it's just sitting there.
Do you need to do something about that now?
Yeah, I'm going to do
we
it.
We can take a... Okay, we'll take a 20-minute break.
I want to...
So we were talking about the copper...
Possum, he's just solved powdery mildew.
Yes. All right. So once the initial crop overcame the blight, Herman found that his hybrids grew well, were hardy and disease-resistant, and grew great grapes.
Hybrid vigor, baby.
Herman's brother, John, did a large amount of the farm labor, while Herman devoted a large amount of time to creating new hybrids and searching the forest and creek beds for new species of wild possum grapes to use in his research and hybridization.
Sharp, would you like to reread that? Because it sounded like you said sweetbreads.
Where? Creek beds?
Creek beds, yeah.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I'm realizing it more.
Or if you don't care, I just...
I didn't hear sweetbreads, but now...
I didn't hear sweetbreads at all.
I am realizing how bad I am at reading aloud.
I just heard zucchini.
Well, so this is an aside, I guess, but there are a couple of times where I've heard you mispronounce words, but I don't super care, because I obviously know what you meant, but I didn't know if you would like to be corrected or not. So this moving forward, like... Yay or nay, I guess.
If you want to be a pod villain,
do it.
Don't. I don't.
Do it.
It's more of a thing. It's more of a thing where, for proper names, I want to be corrected, but otherwise, I have a decent vocabulary. I just read.
Oh no! More no doubt.
More than I like hear things spoken.
I hope this pep talk is in here.
And it absolutely will be in here. This is my inevitable defense that I need, where it's just like, I don't know. I grew up in the rural South. What do you want me to do?
You were in fucking AP classes.
So?
You went to a school with AP classes.
I went to a school with AP classes, and at the same school, one of the science teachers wouldn't teach evolution because he didn't believe it.
That's true.
Man.
I didn't teach evolution at mine either.
Sorry, yeah. I didn't mean for that to be so aggressive. Or like,
you're not being aggressive for thinking that I said okay. Sweet birds.
I thought it was really funny.
Okay. Instead of I mean, pets. It escalated.
Listen, I will die on the Fisher. That's just how I say
Fisher,
it. Leave me alone.
Okay.
I mean, if is this because I made a joke about mispronouncing Geneva?
No. Oh my god. Okay. Let's go.
It's like, get it's back like, on track.
Now, Hermann Jaeger would grow on to ultimately create around 100 varieties of grapes, some of which are considered important to this day and are still in use in the modern wine industry.
What are they called?
I mean, I didn't write them all down. I might have put down one of the varieties that he made because one or two are super commonly used in wine.
It's called a Merlot, a Merlot.
The French wine industry in the 19th century had experienced rapid growth as the Napoleonic Wars had seen an increase in new markets for French wine, as well as the creation of steam-powered transportation, which meant that the French exponentially increased both wine production and their ability to quickly ship wine internationally. Did that sentence make sense?
Oui, oui.
I didn't realize how long of a sentence I had
created. You mispronounced like 17 words, but we'll let it slide.
Yeah, I know that it's Napoleonic.
Neapolitan, actually.
Neapolitan. it's when you mix a red, a white, and a rosé.
Obviously, those advancements are good, but with them, there came a problem. The reduced travel time made it easier for parasites and blights to survive a transatlantic voyage. Some French winemakers had begun their own hybridization experiments with American grapes and had unknowingly introduced phylloxera to Europe, which from now on we will call the root louse.
Root louse. Mm.
Similar to aphids, these insects only eat grape roots. That made it sound like aphids also just eat grape roots, but they're similar to aphids.
Yeah.
And their primary, their only food is grape roots.
What's the vine boring bug that gets into squash plants?
Oh, Ryan, it's a squash vine borer, and they kill every plant that I ever do. They're such bastards. Have you seen what the moth looks like, though, here on Gardening Chat?
No.
It's got a clear...
Share your screen.
It's a clear wing... No, you can look it up. It's a clear wing moth that impersonates a red wasp. So it's one of the few moths that are a daytime moth.
What's it called?
It's called a squash vine borer. So the moth itself looks really cool. And like the first time I saw him, I didn't know what it was. I was like, what is this cool thing? And then, like, you know, 4 weeks later, every zucchini and squash plant I had was dead.
Just totally done.
Yeah. They suck.
It is a cool-looking thing. It kind of looks like a velvet ant.
Is a velvet ant what you call a cow killer?
Velvet ant's what I call a velvet ant.
Anyone know what a cow killer is?
I thought it was Marlboros.
Marlboros?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Cow killer ant?
Yeah. It's not an ant. It's a wingless moss.
If you Google, if you look, I'm playing the role of the Googler right now. If you Google cow killer ant is one of the first thing that comes up.
Yeah, it also says red velvet ants and cow killer ants. It's not an ant though. It's at this insect, although commonly referred to as the cow killer ant or red velvet ant, this insect is actually a wasp. So, yes, it's the same thing. I never knew people called them velvet ants, though.
It's actually a what?
It's a wasp. It's a wingless wasp.
Yeah, but it's called a velvet ant.
I've never heard anyone call it a velvet ant.
I just called it a velvet ant.
Well, until this moment, dipshit, I've only ever heard people call them cow killers. And you had cattle.
I didn't have cattle. My grandpa did. I want to search velvet ant versus cow killer.
You're just gonna get some messed up AI results.
No, look, I already did that. It says velvet ant is only used in the Springfield Plateau, where in the greater Ozark area they use cow killer. So I'm sorry if you weren't born in Springfield. I think you use cow killer.
Where are you finding this? You're just talking out of your ass.
He's using River Valley internet.
Who's to say?
Oh, I heard they got that fiber down there.
Hell yeah. Rural wave, baby.
Oh, I have fiber, and it's great.
Keeps them regular.
Regular.
Regular as well. Anyway, the European grapes had no resistance to the root louse. So they had discovered a cure for the blight, but there was nothing that they could do to kill off or control the insects. And the only choice that they had was to find grapevines that were resistant to the root louse.
Yeah, suck it, France.
Raymond, what are you looking up?
I'm looking at the root louse, and they make galls, which I feel like Daniel enjoys a good gall.
Like the French kind?
Like G-A-L-L. Not De Gaulle. Oh. That was a good one.
Thanks.
You guys know what galls are, right?
Like a gallbladder?
Yeah, like a gallbladder. No, they're the, stone. Like, you know when you see like a leaf and it's got like a big like kind of bulbous growth on it?
Yeah.
That's a gall.
Yeah.
And so for oak galls, that's because there's like a wasp inside of it. But evidently these root louse thingies, they make galls on grape leaves, presumably after they've fed.
No, I know what you're talking about.
That.
Yeah. See, we didn't even call them wasps in our school. We had the waspers.
Waspers.
Yeah, we gotta watch out for waspers.
I thought that was your people. Came from a long line of waspers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Wasp.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Went there. Sharp picked up on it.
Yep.
Raymond Red Velvet.
Did you know, wow, if you Google WASP, did you know that it stands for White Anglo-Saxon Protestant?
I can't tell if he's joking. He got me.
All of you think I'm so stupid. I keep nailing these great jokes, and you're like, wow, he's
I
so,
thought it was good,
he's so dumb.
I'm here for you.
I don't even know why I try.
They don't respect a deadpan, I know.
I only respect live pan. See? There you go. That's a joke no one should laugh at.
Live pan? Oh. Exactly. Oh, my God. Anyway,
oh, man.
The French...
Okay. I'm looking at some I'm just looking at some cartoons from what I'm assuming you're about to tell me about. So I'm excited.
Nice.
What is that? The metamorphosis?
Cool. This is a root
like
louse
a very drunk cockroach
drinking French wine.
Oui, oui.
Incredible.
It was Prohibition.
This is, let me, this
a
is
a cartoon
sometime...
from Punch, the famous comedic French whatever.
Punch and Judy?
That references Punch and Judy.
Oh,
damn it. It's British.
Look at how smart I am. The French government sent out an international call for aid.
What year is it?
19th century. For some reason, I did not write
Napoleonic.
Down.
It's the Neapolitan.
Post-Neapolitan War.
They just shot 1,000 baguettes into the air.
Hang on. It is post 1866. We know that much at least. It's probably the 1870s right now. Herman and John Yeager sent a large amount of clippings, as well as a couple of other Missouri winemakers, George Hussman of Columbia and Isidore Bush from St. Louis. The clippings sent from the United States were found to be resistant to the root louse, and Herman Yeager, George Hussman, and a man from Texas named Thomas Munson were all awarded the Legion of Honor, the highest award presented to a civilian by the French government.
Nice. Was that spelled Bush, B-U-S-C-H, as in Anheuser?
B-U-S-H.
Oh, damn.
Different, right. Different Bush.
Yeah, from St. Louis. Just
but, yeah, no, I
good,
I
yeah, that is a good one.
So, yeah, so Herman Yeager, this isn't the end of the story, but Herman Yeager.
I thought it was.
Herman Yeager was instrumental in saving the French wine industry, which Daniel sent me this story because a write-up on it that I actually used for some of the research for this episode was posted in the Arkansas subreddit, even though it's about a Missouri winemaker.
Yeah, I think, isn't there a Newton County, Missouri? And I think it just got mixed up.
I think there is.
I think there is, yeah. Almost bought the wrong history book once.
Oh, but so I was like, you know, that's interesting, but is it worth an episode? The next part is what why I decided that it would be worth doing an episode on.
Buckle up, listeners.
It's okay. It's not that bad. Or
there's
that
like one spot. It says that there's like weird parts, like a tiny parts that weren't infected by this. So there's like a one port maker and nobody knows why it didn't get infected. So that's cool.
I don't like that you are live disproving my research as we record.
And most Chilean wine for that was isolated enough that it didn't get infected, which is weird too. Anyways.
It's not weird if it's happening in France and Chile is okay.
Yeah, but it came from it did. Sorry, I forgot that it originated in France.
Two oceans.
In my mind, it was somehow our fault and we spread it to France.
Herman Yeager was known to correspond with other grape farmers and to help teach techniques, and even hosted a professor from the French National School of Viticulture. However, he was mostly known as a recluse, never going to conferences and typically only offering help in person. By the early 1890s, Herman had started to develop a bit of a reputation as an eccentric. In the decades prior, Missouri had decided to let liquor laws be decided on a per-county basis. As the temperance movement had gained traction, however, it led to the Newton County, I said the Newton County, but it led to Newton County, the Yeager's home county, to go dry.
Boo!
The law still allowed the Yeagers to grow grapes and produce wine.
They couldn't drink
the
it.
There was a typo and I had to figure out what I was trying to say here. But the inability to sell the wine locally greatly damaged his finances. He was also involved with some legal trouble, but exactly what the legal trouble is unknown. Waiting for Raymond to Google.
Bootlegging?
That, I mean,
doesn't seem like a leap.
In May?
Oh, man.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say University of Central Arkansas is in Faulkner County.
Go Bears.
In Arkansas, which is dry. Go Purple Bears. I was underage, and also it was a dry county, so my roommate and I just made a bunch of wine, and it was really easy, and very bad wine.
I remember that.
But, you know, we could make 24 bottles of wine for like $30.
Nice.
I had visited about halfway through the first process the first time y'all did that.
Yeah.
I don't think it got offensive until the banana wine.
The banana wine was very offensive. We bought like 25 pounds of bananas and tried to make it into wine, which we did. And it was terrible.
Man.
There's a reason it doesn't exist.
Homemade wine, like country wine, will knock you on your ass too. Because that shit is strong. Did you guys have nice and cloudy too?
No, we cleaned
it. Oh, you guys
we racked it a couple, three times. Yeah.
That's like better than most I've had.
We distilled. We made a little homemade distilling pot in our apartment and distilled the banana wine into banana brandy. And it was, I'm surprised no one went blind. It was you put a little orange juice in it, though? went straight down.
I thought that was after the apartment when you were in the house.
No, that was the apartment.
Oh, then I wonder what you were making in your house.
I don't think anything.
I don't think we were making anything in our house.
What were you making in my house?
Well, I could have sworn that one of the times I visited when you lived in the house and we watched Top Gear all night one night. I was under the impression that you were making wine around then but it was definitely the house. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
Raymond just sent one of the sources for this. Thank you for Googling instead of paying attention. In May 1895, Herman left his home for what was believed to be a business trip. He was never seen again.
What?
He was never seen again.
Gasp.
Sorry, what year? 1870?
1895.
1895. You knew about the panic of 1896.
I really appreciate this text that
that's
I just
not,
got from...
That's not, that's
that
not
I
a
just
real
got
thing.
From Raymond.
But no one's going to fact check what I just said. They're just going to be like, yeah, of course there was a panic in 1896. Sounds right.
I mean, if it's based off capitalism, there's one every year.
I think 1892 is the bad one in that cycle.
Let me hear Google.
Fact check me. What was the what year in the 1890s did we have a panic?
If you type in panic of
18...
top results, 1893, 1837, 1873.
I was 1 year off on the 1892. I'm mad
you were,
about that.
Oh, you were.
You could have made state in 92.
Could have made state.
Oh, hey, but guess what, Raymond?
Yeah?
This is the first sentence of the Panic of 1893 Wikipedia article. I don't use Wikipedia as a source, but I will cite it for one sentence. The Panic of 1893 was an economic depression in the United States that began in 1893 and ended in 1897.
Hell yeah, look at that. Love
so
me
you
some
were,
Gilded
you were
Age
close
shit.
Enough. You were close enough. Close.
It was a good time for like four people.
For every Rockefeller. I forget that this stuff's 80 proof, y'all.
The podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. The 80 proof podcast is the subtitle.
And we just listen, it's just random.
You know that podcast has to exist, and it's got to be, like, the worst thing in the world.
Yes. Facts.
Absolutely.
It's just drinking terrible liquors. Man, I saw this stuff that was called Hognog. And it's
great name.
It's a it's a pasteurized ham drink.
Ew.
Oh, Jesus.
It's
Christ.
Canadian.
It's the wrong lesson.
I want it so bad.
Lesson.
I want to give it to my brother. It's going to be great.
That's what like is it?
The wrong lesson from a rum
just,
ham.
Just like, Google just... Hognog.
No. You can't make
oh,
me.
God.
That definitely seems like something that would you might Google in safe mode. We'll just say that.
Yeah, really.
Sorry, guys. My computer just got a virus.
From the Hognog. Listen, Hognog. I'm on it. Wait, maybe it was something. No. There's some people claiming.
You got to give him his little tasks.
It's a mixed drink.
Are you lying to strangers right now?
I would never.
No, he's just lying to friends.
Oh, sorry. It's Pignog. It's pig nog. I'm going to tell you guys about pig nog. Where is there?
See, it's times like this where I really wish I could be recording in my shop and just have a cigarette.
It says partially cooked, which is somehow worse. Pig nog.
No, thank you.
Partially
no,
cooked.
No, thank you. Oh, yeah. I also fact-checked myself on Sebastian Vettel's world championship run for 4 years. It didn't start until 2010. But shit, that was a while ago. I need to look it up again.
Fine, they were just heating up.
Yeah, it started 2010.
In May 1895, Herman left his home for what was believed to be a business trip, and he was never seen again. On May 23rd, his wife received a letter that was postmarked from Kansas City, Kansas. Included in the letter was the line, quote, "It is better I make an end to it before I get crazy," and was signed...
Damn.
Quote, "Your unlucky Herman." There's wild speculation as what the true fate of Herman Yeager is. Theories range from that he committed suicide.
That's what it's pointing to.
That he and his horse and wagon accidentally or on purpose fell in one of the innumerable zinc mines in the area.
In Kansas Some, City, Kansas?
I like that the horses were in on it.
I mean, this is between Neosho and Kansas City. I actually think that in southwest Missouri, there were a lot of zinc mines, especially back
oh, for
in
sure.
the day. Some people think he returned to Switzerland to start a new life or went out west to California to work in the wine industry there. But in the end, we don't know. No trace of him was ever found, including his horses or wagons, nothing.
Wow.
In the 1980s, his farmhouse was razed after it had fallen into a state of disrepair.
Sad.
During the demolition, a metal picnic basket was found that contained a large number of letters Herman had exchanged with other American horticulturists and viticulturists, primarily the aforementioned Thomas Munson and George Hussman, that were awarded the
Medal of Honor.
The civilian, yes.
Yeah, the French Medal of Honor. That's what they want it called.
On June 26th, 2023, a new award was announced in the Missouri Governor's Cup Wine Competition, the Hussman Jaeger Award for Best White Varietal Wine.
Nice.
And there we go. There's the story. And
he did it.
He did it.
And turns out Missouri and the Ozarks in general still all make almost exclusively terrible wine.
Yes. I worked at a wine bar in Missouri.
I went to the wine bar that Raymond worked at because the bartender that night that I went in was your former college RA.
True.
And he, boy, he was just giving me martinis because it was martini night.
That sounds like a great wine bar.
Oh, I man. I guess
any wine.
I mean, I guess we're not naming him, but I love this man. And he's a great dude, and maybe he'll listen to this and smile. Ophelia's,
rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Weird place, man. Fucking weird place.
I went to. This is one of the most pretentious sentences I'm about to say.
Yay!
It did actually happen. After university. My partner and I went to Paris, where we stayed with a friend of her father's who was working for a big oil company there. And he took us to a private wine tasting competition of local rosés. And
you're right.
I know.
I think your pool just became an outdoor one, Raymond.
I was so nervous and scared because... the three of us, I spoke zero French. My partner spoke some French, like kind of conversational. And the guy that we were with also spoke zero French. He's from Texas. And he was just like, like give us the next round. And like there was a spittoon there and everybody was like, you know, spitting their wine in. And it got to some point I was so uncomfortable. I'm just like, yeah, I need to either forget this happened or I just got to get out because I am judging local wines and I do not belong here. Like I got to go or just get drunk and then somehow that'll make it equal. And it was weird.
The actual pretentious part of that was that it was below Daniel's normal taste for an event.
It was so good. All the wines were good. You just didn't know how to interact with any, because there would be a tasting and like everybody at the table of like 10 people would discuss. You're like, well, I'm from Harrison.
Tastes good. Nice bouquet.
That's all I got to offer.
Did you say that was in Paris?
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 It was, yeah. Paris?
Paris?
Paris.
Buy my wine from Chicken Liquor. I deserve to have it. You know.
Oh my god!
If you can't get it at Chicken Liquor,
If it ain't Wiedekers or Post, I don't know what you want to test.
It ain't Dedekers or Fuck.
Well, then it better come in a box. I tell you what.
Since Gus brought up Chicken Liquor, I think it's funny that the Chicken Liquor is a liquor store in Harrison, Arkansas that used to be a Popeyes.
So good.
And now there's a Popeyes in Harrison and what used to be a KFC.
What? Big change.
Wait, there's a Popeyes in Harrison again?
The old KFC in Harrison is a Popeyes now.
Wow.
And now there's a KFC in a really nice new building.
Man, the KFC in Harrison growing up is the worst. I don't think there is a worst restaurant in the world.
And you remember it had a buffet?
It had a buffet, and I ate there. I remember eating it there.
My mom was like, just go to KFC and you can get a bean burrito at the buffet. It's like, oh, God.
My grandpa was super involved with a bunch of VA groups, especially the DAV, Disabled American
Veteran. Great thrift store in Springfield, Missouri.
Yeah, but the Harrison chapter of the DAV in the 90s would eat at KFC every like Monday or Wednesday night at the buffet. Ugh. The last time I went in there was 2009.
That was after we have graduated from high school.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
and I still have the buffet then?
Well, I walked in there and I was like...
expecting a buffet.
No, I walked in there and I was like, this KFC has been bad for a long time, but like maybe it's come around. And I went in there and it was in such disarray. So the buffet, you know, it's just like the hot pans with the water in it. Water was overflowing. From the buffet,
chicken
onto
tea.
The floor, and it was, and I remember I got a soda and I hadn't even paid yet, and I just filled up my drink and left, and then it closed not long after that.
I loved that you believed a shitty restaurant in Harrison, Arkansas, could have a comeback story without changing anything.
Yeah, but at the same time, how many times have I eaten at the Harrison Taco Bell with you guys?
I know.
What?
But it wasn't the KFC.
Do you guys remember the rumors that there was shit in the refried beans at the Taco Bell?
Well, that's because someone had shit, not in Harrison, but somewhere else that had happened before.
Did it?
Yeah.
Not in Harrison.
It was like a
that's
whole
good.
Thing. It wasn't in Harrison. Whenever we were in high school after Raymond had left, because he's a year older than us.
Wiser.
Not me.
And Gus technically is a year older than us, but... was a pirate as opposed to a goblin, which seemed like they would get along, you know.
Do they?
A pirate goblin. Now that.
It's kind of its own archetype. I mean, I think that's what.
If we have to change the podcast name,
stuff does.
The pirate goblins.
To pirate goblin?
The goblin pirates.
The goblin booty.
That's just going to get us like a steampunk audience, and I don't think any of you guys want that.
Okay, fair enough, but Daniel and I, senior year of high school at the Taco Bell, we got to wear a. We would trade beer to the workers for free food.
What?
I have no memory of this.
Maybe you weren't there. I definitely did that with Rob on at least one occasion.
That sounds like
nice.
A Rob move.
Whoops. I definitely did that with Redacted.
With Redacted. Other... Yeah, it's okay. Redacted is living in Southeast Asia right now.
Is he? Where is he at now?
Redacted.
Redacted.
Listen, at least it's safer than... than the other redacted places that he spent.
Fair enough.
We're giving Sharp so much work.
Man, lots of things happened at that Taco Bell.
I just think about one time Raymond dated this girl. She'd never even been to a Taco Bell.
I remember that. You judged her so hard for that. Would your life really be worse if you had never eaten at a Taco Bell?
No, I'm just saying that if I went on a date with someone and we brought up Taco Bell and they said, oh, I've never been to a Taco Bell, I would go, our economic backgrounds do not mesh.
Then you can go to do rosé test tastings in Paris.
Yes, in Paris. As long as you go with your one-day father-in-law's friend.
Exactly.
Well, thanks for stopping in tonight. Or today, whenever you listened, we have been We Always Lie to Strangers. My name is Sharp Woolston.
My name is Redacted.
I'm also Redacted.
And I'm Sweetbread.
Anyway, thanks for sticking in. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for sticking
thanks
in.
Thanks for sticking in.
Thanks for stopping in. How's that?
Y'all come back now here.
Either way.
We just pissed off Missourians is what I feel like it.
Hey, it's Sharp, here with the sources. We've got new award for top Missouri white wine from MissouriWine.org, the Herman Yeager page on the MissouriEncyclopedia.org site, Johann Heinrich Pestalozzi on Britannica.com, How the Ozarks Saved the French Wine Industry by Caitlin McConnell on OzarksAlive.com, and Herman Yeager, An Unknown Legend in Old Europe Wine Country by Emma Wilson at KSMU.com. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time.